Well, good morning, boys and girls, and older boys and girls. It's good to see everyone here this morning. While we're waiting for some more folks to come, how about we sing a few hymns? Does somebody have a number for us? Right over there. Do you have that number? Sorry, which one is that? Number 44. So let's sing number 44. Glad tea? No. Into a tent. Tell it again, salvation story, repeat, or. You know, many of us here in this room have heard that salvation story over and over and over, and we enjoy hearing it again. So we're going to tell it again this morning. Hymn number 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day.
Has one for us.
Which number was that?
Aren't we thankful for Grampus? Number 47. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. Number 47.
Oh, when he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems
Who else has one for us? Benji. Number 27. So let's sing number 27. How about we sing the first and the last two verses of number 27. My God, I
have found the Christ-blessed ground where
boys and girls, we trust and we hope that that's true of everybody here this morning. It says here, he'll not be in glory and leave me behind. Oh, we trust that everyone here will not be left behind when the Lord Jesus comes. Before we sing another couple, let's just ask the Lord for his help. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that we have the privilege of being in a company like this morning, where Thy precious Word can be opened. And not for fear of the authorities coming in to break up the meeting, but we can be here with liberty. We thank Thee for this, our God. Help us not to take these things for granted. And we just would pray earnestly, our God, this morning, that as we open Thy precious Word, that we might hear Thy voice, that Thou would speak to each of our hearts. And especially those who are younger here, blessed God, we just would pray that these young hearts might come to know Thee as Father and Thy blessed Son as their Savior while they're young. And for any of us who are older too, who perhaps do not know Thee as Father, we just would pray that Thy precious Word would speak to us this morning. And so we'd ask these things in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. We sang, you know, in this little hymn, where life and where joy and true comfort abound. This morning I want to talk about life. Life. You know, on our way home last night, we were driving to our motel, and we passed a raccoon. It was dead on the road. Dead. This morning on our way here, we passed the same raccoon. You know what? It was still dead. It was still dead. And you know, this morning, boys and girls, there may be boys and girls here that are dead in their trespasses and sins. And you know, that's not an unusual thing, to pass a raccoon that's dead and to pass by a little while later and find it's still dead. In fact, when we went to on our way here this morning, there was four others. So we passed five raccoons that were dead. And I expect if we were to go back there, we'd find they'd all be dead. But this morning, we trust that if there's someone here that is dead in their trespasses and sins, that there would be a change. There would be a change. It'd be most unusual for a raccoon to come back to life, but no, it wouldn't be unusual for someone who is dead in their trespasses and sins to become alive, to have life. Oh, this morning, as we take up the little subject of life, we trust that everyone here this morning would be alive. Who has another hymn for us? Who has another one for us? Any of the boys and girls in the front row here? Or, oh, here's one over here. Number 40. Let's sing number 40. How about we sing the first and the last two verses of number 40? Jesus loves
me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
There's lots of boys and girls here in the front row, but there's a few extra chairs here. If there's boys and girls that are sitting back, why don't you come up to the front row here? It'll help me to focus a little bit on what I'm trying to say. And I have something for the boys and girls on the front row. So if there are boys and girls here that would like to come up to the front, that would be great. So the last verse of number 40.
Jesus loves me, he will say, close beside me all the way. If I trust him, should I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
I'm going to read a verse here in Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis chapter 2, for those of you who have Bibles. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Supposed to have a red light here. Is it on? Good. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and
nostrils the breath of, what's the next word? Life. The breath of life. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. If we were to turn to the previous chapter, we would find, you know, that the Lord created some things. He created some grass, then he created some fish, and then there were beasts. And then he created man, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. I have something to show you here this morning. I'm going to ask you boys and girls a question. I got some plants here. See some plants? So which of these plants is alive? This one here. It's alive. What do you think? See, plants is alive. We're all going for the yellow. You gonna go for the yellow too? What do you think? Which is alive? I don't think it is. You're gonna go with that too. Okay, so we got a live plant here. Got some other plants that are, well, they don't look too good, do they? Sometimes looks are deceiving though. I want you boys and girls to come up here. If you could, I've got something here for you. I want you to take one of these. Okay, take one of those. And you take it back to your chair and you just hang on to that. Just hang on to that. You can take a couple if you want. You just go ahead, and as soon as you get one, go and sit back on your chair. As soon as you get some of these, you can just go back in your chair. Anybody else missing some? They wouldn't want the old folks to be out without some of this, too. There you are, Mr. Arndt. I think Mr. Berry looks like he'd like to have one there too. He's got this longing look in his eyes in this little bag. If anybody else wants to have one, there's lots here. There's about 3,000. You know, it's interesting. When the Lord Jesus was speaking to the disciples, the disciples came to him and they said to him in Luke's gospel, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of sand, is that what he said? What he said? What did he say? If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's right. He didn't choose a grain of sand, it's about the same size, but he chose something that was alive. Now, boys and girls, I want you to look at what's in your hand there. That is alive. That is alive. You know, boys and girls, we have a live plant here. This here is a thistle. There's real live seeds in this thistle. So we're going to have to ask a horticulturist, what's this? So Mr. Rule says, this is a sunflower. Real live seeds in this sunflower. Very much alive. Interesting, the Lord Jesus didn't say faith is a grain of sand. He said faith as a mustard seed. Something that was alive. And his desire is that our faith, no matter the size of it, but that it would be alive. And that's what our desire is this morning. Is that our faith would be alive. And so we got something else here. You know, sometimes you see these, and they're, in the summertime, they're yellow. We call them ragweed or goldenrod. It's got real live seeds. You know, if I go outside and I blow on this, there'd be ragweed that would come up on the lawn. We do that sometimes with dandelions, don't we? When they get past their prime and they're not yellow anymore and you see these puffs and the wind comes along and blows them. Real live seeds. Live seeds. You know, let's turn to the book of Exodus here for a moment. The book of Exodus. Exodus, the 8th chapter. With the plagues here, in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand and his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast, and the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. We had some interesting things said yesterday. One of the things that I found fascinating was that matter is going to perish, but life is forever. We heard a little bit yesterday about the things that men can do. Men can do some pretty fascinating things. You look up there, you look at all those lights up there in the ceiling. Well, I wonder how those lights got up there. That's pretty amazing, eh? That somebody could put those lights up there, someone could put that ceiling through there, someone could build this building. As we were driving here, we were going through Toronto, and there's these big skyscrapers, some of them round, some of them all glass. Tremendous things that men can do. There are airplanes going overhead, lots of cars in the highway. Man made all those things. Boys and girls, look at what's in your hand. That's something that man cannot make. That is something that man cannot make. If you boys and girls were to take that home and you were to plant it, it would sprout. It would sprout and it would grow. You know why? Because it's alive. It's alive. Isn't that something? Something as small as that, and man cannot do it. You know, here in the book of Exodus, the magicians. Now, I believe the magicians had a fear of God. Pharaoh didn't seem to have a fear of God. But the magicians, they knew that there was something here that they couldn't do. They could not create life. They couldn't do that. Boys and girls, is there a fear of God in your heart? Is there a fear of God in your heart? Sometimes we're afraid of things. I had something interesting happen yesterday. I needed some wheat seeds, obviously, and I didn't have any with me. So I went to the corner store to see where I could find a feed store to buy some seeds. And they said, well, if you go down here to Fingal, there's a feed store down there. And so I drove towards Fingal, and I got my directions crossed. I was told that there was a flashing light down there. Well, it was the second flashing light, and I came to the first flashing light. And I didn't see any Fingal, and there was a few men that were there building a building there. And it was off in the back, and I kind of parked my car, and I strode over to where they were, and I was dressed up. And I looked at these folks, and I thought, well, I'm going to have some fun. I said, I'm a building inspector. And their faces went, you know, I'm not the official building inspector, but when I look at buildings, I like to inspect them. So I am a building inspector. And, you know, I'm standing there, and these men, they're afraid. They have fear in their hearts. And I said, I'm not really a building inspector. I'm not from around here, and I'm looking for a feed store. Could you point me in the direction? And one of the men said, you just about gave us a heart attack. You know, it opened up a door for the gospel. But you know, I went to the feed store and I bought this feed. And as I came back, I passed those men, you know, I waved, they waved. There was some fear in their hearts, but that's not the kind of fear we're speaking about. The fear of God, you have the fear of God in your heart. These men that were with Pharaoh, they recognized that there was something they could not do here. And you know, boys and girls, you look at what's in your hand. Take a look at your shoes. It's interesting, eh? That man can make those shoes. Man can make those dresses. Man can make those socks, those pants, those shirts. But man cannot make what you've got in your hand there. They just cannot make that. And they've tried. Why? Because it's got life. It's got life in it. Yes, this plant's got life, but these other ones do too. They have life. You know, it's interesting. Remember Daniel? Remember Daniel when he... when he was with his friends and he was told what to eat. And he was told that he was going to have the king's meat, but you know, he didn't want the king's meat. Can anybody remember what Daniel's diet was? What's that? Beans and water. No, that's right. The word there is pulse. You know what pulse is? It's a grain. Daniel didn't want the meat of the king that was dead. He wanted something that was alive. He wanted something that was alive to eat. Just in passing, I would say this to the young people here. What do you feed on? Do you feed on what's dead? Or do you feed on what's alive? Just this past, a few weeks ago, I was in Florida. And I spent quite a bit of time watching some pelicans. And the young people in Rio Ferry heard me speak about pelicans a week ago. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to make one comment. As I observed these pelicans and observed their diet and how they ate all kinds of things that were dead, lots of dead fish. And I got close to these pelicans, and there was a few that were kind of tame. And there was a railing about this high. And there would be some sitting there that would be sunning themselves, you know, and they'd see me day after day coming to them, and they'd kind of be looking at me. And I watched one of them one day, and it kind of started to scratch underneath its wing. So I reached over, and I scratched underneath its wing, and it just kind of left its wing like that and let me scratch. And it, after a while, it started to scratch behind its leg, and so I kind of scratched its leg a little bit, and it just enjoyed that so much. But you know, the same pelican, when I was going by, I don't know if it sneezed or coughed, but it opened up its mouth, and it belched this sound, and the horrible smell, the bad breath. You know, it was very easy to tell what this thing was feeding on. It fed on things that were dead. But Daniel, he wanted to feed on what was alive. He wanted to feed on what was alive. And you know, when they looked at Daniel a little while later, his complexion was finer than the rest of those that had been feeding on things that were dead. Life. Life. Let's turn to the book of Numbers. I'm sorry, that's the book of Leviticus. I believe the Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. In verse 13, you know, this is a portion where we read about unclean animals and clean animals, and there's unclean and clean birds. There's two portions. We could look at it in Deuteronomy as well. But here in Leviticus 11, it says in verse 13, "These are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls." And then we read down in verse 21, "Yet these may ye eat of every flying creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Even those of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind." You know, as you go through these creeping things, I've just been impressed by the locust, that it was, it's a fine bird, a fine little creature for us to consider, like a grasshopper. You remember the spies. And they went to spy out the land. And they came back, and there was two spies that says were well able to take the land. But there were other spies that said, you know, there's giants there, and we're just like grasshoppers in their eyes. Oh, it would have been wonderful if they could have taken the place of a grasshopper, because you know what a locust does in a grasshopper? When it comes to an obstacle, it's able to surmount the obstacle. It is. It's a wonderful characteristic to have as believers. When an obstacle is in the way, to realize that we can surmount any obstacle that comes in our pathway. You know what locusts feed on? You can't tempt the locust with something that's dead. They're not interested. If it's green, they're going to eat it. If it's alive, they're interested. Only if it's alive. If it's dead, they're not going to go there. They're not going to go there. What do we feed on? We feed on what's alive. Let's turn now to the book of John. Book of John. John chapter 12. I thought you were going to turn to this portion yesterday, Don. You bypassed it. You went over to the 14th chapter. But in John chapter 12 and verse 23, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." I want you to look at that, what's in your hand. I went to the feed store and I said, sir, I need a bag of wheat seed. He said, we have some of that. I said, I'll tell you what I need it for. I'm going to speak to some children and I want to show them some wheat seeds. So he ran in the back and he got me a bag of wheat seeds and he didn't charge me for them. And so here we have some wheat seeds. You know, it's incredible to me, boys and girls, that some of the pyramids that we can see today over in Egypt are over 4,000 years old. Over 4,000 years old. When they opened them up, in those pyramids, there were wheat seeds, like you see in your hand there. 4,000-year-old wheat seed, and they planted it, and poof, it sprouted and brought forth fruit. 4,000 years old. Now you try to lie down and try to play dead for 4,000 years and we'll see what happens. I don't think it can be done. But here's a seed. Here's a seed that God made and it can sit there for 4,000 years and we can take that seed and plant it and it sprouts. And it sprouts. I was walking down the sidewalk out here. And very interesting to me to see a little crack in the sidewalk. And up through the sidewalk, a little plant forcing itself. Life. Living. Boys and girls, this morning, our desire is that everyone here would have life as we leave this room. Real life. You know, I did something else yesterday on my way home from the feed store. This is at lunchtime. As I drove down, something we've all done this morning is we drove by a graveyard down here, and so I thought, I'm going to wheel in here. And I wheeled in here, and there's one section of it that's a newer section that had a lot of flowers. People had brought flowers at Easter time. You know, it's a marvelous time of year. We think about the death. We think about the burial, the shed blood, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Anyway, I wheeled into that graveyard. All the stones were there. And I just thought about that a little while. Well, this morning as we were going by, we saw the same graveyard. We didn't see any of the stones dislodged with somebody that came out of those graves. No, everybody's still dead. They're all still dead. Their bodies, anyway. But we read in Genesis that man breathed, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And every one of us has a living soul. Every one of us. You know, Mr. Stewart just passed away this morning. Just heard that. Mr. Stewart's body is dead. But his soul is with the Lord Jesus. It's with the Lord Jesus. You know, boys and girls, you have a living soul. What about that living soul? It's alive. And it's going to live for all eternity. But where is it going to live? Where is that soul of yours going to live? And we just read in this verse, the Lord Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, the Lord Jesus was speaking about himself and how he was going to go into death. He took a body so that he could go into death. And he did go into death on Calvary's cross. And there his precious blood was shed. And why did he do that? He rose from the dead. And as we've been having in our meetings, he's at God's right hand at this very moment. Why did he do that? Boys and girls, it's so you could have life. So you could have life. You know, you might be able to go home and you might be able to get some mud and you might be able to try and make a little grain just like what you have in your hand. And it might look exactly like that. And man has tried to do that. And they've made something that looks exactly like those little corns of wheat that you have in your hand. But they've got no life. They've got no life. They're dead. They're dead. Do you have life this morning? Do you have life? Before we continue, I'd like to sing the first verse of number 26. This reminds us of a story in Israel's history when all the people were bitten by serpents and they started to die. But there was a way that they could get life. There was a way that they could live. And we find it here, number 26. We'll sing the first verse and the chorus.
There is life in the Lord.
I'd like to turn now to another verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. For those children here who are a little older than these ones in there in the front row, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Or, as we have in another translation, lay hold on that which is really life. Young people, what are you feeding on this morning? Do you have life? You know, we had somebody prayed the first prayer meeting about our life being under a bushel and our life being under a bed. Is there evidence that there's life with us? We might have life, but is there evidence? As we speak with one another, is there the evidence that there's that life? Well, there's some things that doesn't look like there's too much evidence. They're alive. Not much evidence, though. Quite a bit of evidence here. What do we look like as we intermingle with each other and as we visit with one another? Is there the evidence of what we've been feeding on? Well, the Lord's desire is that there would be not just life, but there would be the evidence of it. Oh, boys and girls, our desire is that you would have life. And for every one of us here, those that are older, that there would be the evidence of that life. As we would intermingle with each other through this day that's before us, you know, we have the privilege in just a few minutes of sitting down with a table there in the midst, if the Lord tarries, and on it a loaf, and on it a cup. And it speaks to us. The death of the Lord Jesus. Except the corn of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And the Lord's desire is that you would have our company. If indeed we do have life, does he have our company? Does he have it? Well, we trust these things would touch our hearts. And boys and girls, this morning, if you don't have life, if you really don't have life, well, we trust that as we read this last verse in John chapter 3, that you would indeed receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and have life. John chapter 3. These were interesting things for Nicodemus to converse with about the Lord. He said, how can a man be born again? John chapter 3. For God so loved the world, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Boys and girls, do you have that? Do you have everlasting life? And for those of us that have it, is there the evidence of it? Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for that finished work on Calvary that has brought so many of us here into such blessing. And this morning, our God, in a special way, we would pray that if there is someone here and they realize that Thou art speaking to their hearts, they don't have life, oh, that they might receive Thee, Lord Jesus, into their heart this morning, that there would be life. And for those of us, our God, that have it, as Thou art speaking to our hearts, perhaps there's not the evidence of it Thou dost desire for us to have. We just would pray that there would be that exercise of our hearts as to what we feed on. That there would be that which would be the expression of real life. Lord God, we would ask these things and just commit ourselves in Thy hand. We would pray in a special way for the Stewart family at this time. And we would think too of Sue Ruga in a special way. And so we would ask these things, our God, giving Thee thanks in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.